Now, over the holidays, I got to see a very interesting documentary. You know, when you think of our household rubbish, it's actually polluting every single part of our oceans at every depth possible. This really is the insight that came out of this documentary, and it is killing our marine life. Three times a whale swam into the shallow cove of the island of Sotra in Norway. Three times. When it first appeared, residents pushed it back out to sea. And then the next time, it was the fire brigade that helped to kind of push it out back to sea. But when it returned for the third time, it was exhausted, it was lethargic. The local marksman was summoned to euthanize the whale. And residents said that it didn't move much. It was just lying there, breathing. It was too tired to swim. It was trying to find a place for its final rest, they believe. And he came there to die. When it was shot, it was an emotional moment because this was a story that had dominated the news and people's attention in Norway. And everybody felt really, really sad. A stranded whale that died right there in the island of Sotra. So why is this significant? What is significant about it is that in the coming days, scientists, local scientists, got the opportunity to conduct an autopsy of this particular whale. And this is what led to this documentary and some of the news that horrified many people all over the world. This documentary entitled Plastic Whale and some of the headlines that it had been that had been made out of this discovery of what was the contents of the plastic whale's stomach. So joining us via Skype right now, we've got Dr. Hanneke Meyer, and she is an associate professor and curator of osteology at the University of Bergen in Norway. She was quite involved in the scientific autopsy and also some of the insights that we now have after this autopsy was done. Dr. Meyer, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Azania. Thank you for having me.
It was incredible to sit and watch this documentary, watching your contribution and what it is that we have done to our oceans and to marine life. So for local scientists, the whale's death was actually also an opportunity, as sad as it was. It served as an opportunity, right?
Yes, exactly. The reason we wanted to get this animal, the skeleton of this animal, was because this is a relatively rare species for Norway. Mm-hmm. And as a curator of the bone collection here, I was really interested in getting another specimen of this type of whale. So that was our main reason that we went out to get this dead animal's body. But when we started to dissect it and we eventually got to the stomach contents, mm-hmm. we realized that something was very, very wrong with this animal.
Right. So let's just backtrack a little bit. I've just given the story about how it ended up being euthanized and this mm-hmm. opportunity to look further into the Cuvier-beaked whale's ways and habits. So what were you looking mm-hmm. for particularly? What did you think you would find, or which questions were you hoping to answer initially?
We were hoping to see what the animal had been eating mm-hmm. during its last weeks. When we were measuring it, it turned out to be a very skinny animal. Mm-hmm. It was a young male, as we later found out, but it was relatively low in weight. It also had a very thin layer of fat, which is unusual for these animals because they should have bigger amounts of fat in their body. Mm-hmm. And then when we got to the stomach, we found that it was full of plastic. And this probably explained why the animal was so skinny, because it likely hadn't eaten much in the last weeks or months before its death. Mm. These are animals that are diving. So they dive to get their food, and they normally feed on little squids and other small animals. And these were the animals that we were expecting to find in the stomach. But instead, we found all these plastic remains. Yes, it was really shocking. And for us, it was just so unexpected to see this, so mm. much plastic coming out of a whale. Mm. And what we think what happened is that these animals, when they're diving, when the light gets really low, they don't see the difference between a jellyfish and a squid or a little bit bag of plastic.
That's
so
important
they just,
for
plastic.
That's
so
important
just,
for us to
suck in the water.
Yeah, that's important for us to understand. Mm-hmm. So, because whales also send out, what is it, sonic signals underwater to try and detect how whether there is a school of fish close by, or if they are seals, whatever they feed on. You mentioned penguins and so on. So how does plastic behave then in water? Because clearly marine life is confusing plastic for food.
Yes. Well, there has been little research on this, but we think that deep underwater, these plastic bags and pieces of plastic behave in a way that is very similar to the favorite food of these diving whales. And because they can't see so good underwater, they just, anything that looks and sounds like their food item, they will just swallow without knowing if it really is food or if it's something else. And that turns out to be a problem when the oceans are so full of plastic these days that these animals cannot distinguish between plastic and real food.
Yeah, so our illusion that it's just floating somewhere are actually false. This is at deep depths in our oceans where plastic can also be found.
Yes, exactly. It's not just a surface problem. It also is a problem at greater depths, definitely.
So as shocking as this discovery was, let's look at what you found, the kind of contents, the comments, or the what it tells us about plastic in general, because you unpacked it, you laid it out on the floor, which I think for anyone watching that documentary is absolutely shocking. It was laid out on the floor, and on some of the plastics, you could actually see the manufacturer's branding, the country of origin, and a whole lot of other details. It was still largely intact.
Yes, this was plastic that came from a number of places. There were plastics that used to contain chicken remains from Ukraine. There was ice cream wrappers from Denmark. There was also wrappers from the UK that we can tell based on the text on it. So this is plastic that comes from many different countries. And this is all collected in the Northern Atlantic region here. And we have all the plastic. We kept it, and it's on display at our museum right now. And people are shocking to see that this all comes from the inside of an animal. An animal ate all this plastic. And we can no longer ignore it. This is all plastic that is used for once or twice to wrap food, and then it's thrown away. So if we want to do something about this problem, then we have to look at the plastic that we're using to wrap food items in.
Yes.
The one-use plastic.
Well, the world was horrified when the headlines came out, and of course other stories, because this isn't the first animal that has been looked at where plastic has been discovered, right?
No, we know that plastic is a problem. We've seen other examples all over the world, but I think in some ways the Western world likes to think that this is a problem for faraway places, that we, the Western world, are somehow better, that this doesn't happen in our area. But this whale really showed that no, this is a problem right here on our doorsteps in Europe, in Northern Europe. This also is a problem, and we can no longer afford to look away from this.
Yes.
It's a problem all over the world.
In fact, the one that that was broadcast, the documentary, revealed activists who, after that, were also mobilized to clean up some of the northernmost islands where plastic has accumulated, almost turning these small islands into plastic islands.
Yeah. Yes, it inspired a lot of cleaning up actions all over Norway, which is a very, very positive effect. I'm really glad that happened. So it made people much more aware of the problem here. And it inspired a lot of people to do better, to start cleanup actions, to start thinking about how they're using plastic every day and how they can improve on their plastic use. So in that way, the death of this whale was a positive thing.
Yeah, because of the awareness, ultimately, and hopefully it brings about behavior change. It certainly gave me a lot of guilt, you know, looking at the packaging, at just toys. It's everywhere. Plastic is everywhere. Yeah. And the point is made that leading up to that, there could have been some human action or intervention to prevent it from happening, to prevent plastic from landing up in our waters.
Yes. Yeah, this was all preventable. That's the sad part about it. If we had taken more steps regarding this problem before, this animal maybe hadn't died, but it did. So I think there's a very valuable lesson in there that we really, really need to start thinking about how we are using plastic every day.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, Hanneke, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll expand more on the plastic whale. That's how this whale then came to be known. Just plastic whale because of the contents that were discovered in its stomach when this autopsy was done. Of course, they wanted the skeleton. The university wanted the skeleton. And my guest is associate professor and curator of osteology at the University of Bergen. So quite closely involved with the project and shocked at what they found, of course, as in the contents of the stomach, but also just in some of the specifics around this whale, the thin layer of blubber, how underweight it was, and this conclusion that this was caused by this contents of its stomach, that it couldn't obviously live a healthy life, considering that in its gut, there is all of this plastic that it cannot digest that is blocking the digestive system. It is a travesty. It is a shame on us as humanity, what we've done to our oceans and to our environment. We'll take your questions and your comments on 011-883-0702 and 31702 for your SMS. Well, we're looking at revelations that were made through a documentary called Plastic Whale. But ultimately, this is about the plastic that we are finding in our oceans and the harm that it's bringing about with marine life after the discovery of this whale, that once it was looked at after it died from beaching itself, there was plastic was found to be all to be clogging its digestive system. So what are we doing about it? What can we do about it? Because clearly we're not disposing of plastic in a responsible way. And we're joined now by Dr. Hanneke Meyer, who's an associate professor and curator of osteology at the University of Bergen. We're taking your calls on 011-883-0702 231702 for your SMSs. I mean, we may be broadcasting to an inland province, but we do have a coastline that stretches 2,500 kilometers. And this isn't isolated to a particular country because the oceans are the oceans. We all have a part to play wherever we find ourselves in the world. So we hopefully don't have to answer the question of why should we care? Because so often people think it's in Norway. It's not happening here in South Africa. You know, it's in Norway. But we think that it doesn't affect us or it's not our problem. Meanwhile, with an issue such as plastic, it is also our problem. So, Hanneke, what is happening? Are the laws going to change? Is there public pressure, perhaps, to ensure that there's tangible change as far as how we dispose of plastic is concerned?
There are pressures on the government here in Norway to change laws about plastic and to stimulate initiatives that would stimulate alternatives. And there have been charges for using plastic bags in shops now these days. Mm. So that is a really good development. And people seem to be more aware of it. When we get questions of people, how can we reduce the amount of plastic that we're using and how can I help in reducing the amount of plastic in daily life. So people are really starting to think about it more. And I think that's the way to go. That's where things should start before we can see actual change.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of some of the whales we get to see from about September when they are around our coastline, around our shore. There's a lot of whale watching. It's a great attraction in the southern coast of South Africa. You wonder about their health, the dolphins that we see. And not just that, but birds, other smaller fish also are equally affected. So it is a pervasive problem along the food chain, right across the food chain. Do we understand the harm that it's also causing us, because this is also what we consume?
Exactly. Now there are even reports of shrimp containing tiny pieces of plastic.
Wow.
And this is what I find really scary, because this is the food that we are eating.
Mm-hmm.
So if the sea life that we are consuming contains plastic because of our actions, that means that ultimately it will affect our health as well. And I think that is really something that we haven't thought about too much before, but now is becoming more and more evident that this is really happening and that it will affect us. So I think this is really something that we need to think about and we have to stop it. I think there's no other conclusion to say about this, is that plastic has invaded our ecosystems in such a tremendous way that is really starting to affect our health. And that is something that is really scary to think about.
Yeah, and we're seeing this trend towards wellness in general. So maybe millennials will bring about a much harder change when it comes to mm-hmm. these kinds of choices that we don't want to take, or this change in lifestyle that we're reluctant yeah. to make. Now,
yeah.
There's a question here. Trevor says, how much plastic are we really talking about? Is there a way of putting this across? Because I can still see those visuals of mm-hmm. The opening up of that gut and just all mm-hmm. the plastic that came out of there. Is there a way yes. of communicating it, just a sense of how much plastic we're talking about?
In our whale, there were 30 large pieces of plastic that were in our animal. And these were not little bits. These were full-on garbage bags, food wrappers, chips bags. These were large pieces of plastic. And that is just one animal.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a sense of the size and the scale of what we're talking about. And of course, this is a big animal. But then there are plenty of examples from seabirds and fish and other animals that have large amount of plastic in their bodies as well. So this is a problem.
Yeah, yeah, and there's no way that this could have been worked through its digestive system. It was just always bound to cause this kind of problem, leading to its death.
Yeah, and we don't really know what the buildup was,
mm-hmm.
how long this had taken place before the animal died. But given that it was a young animal and that it was significantly underweight, it might have been built up over a couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Annika, thank you so much. Thank you for your time and sharing the story of what's happening on your end of the world, and a story that we should all care about.
Thank you for your interest and for promoting awareness about this problem. I mean, we cannot stimulate this enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. That was Dr. Annika Meyer, and she is an associate professor and curator of osteology at the University of Bergen. If you do get an opportunity to watch this, you have to. It will really change your use of plastic, how you regard yourself in this picture, where you're located in this picture, and it'll make you ask hard questions about what you're doing about it and what can you do about it. Remember in 2017, after we had the storms that took place in KwaZulu-Natal, there was a ship, I think, that lost its load, and one of the containers had those plastic pellets that washed up on Durban's beachfront. That was incredibly hard to clean up. If you can imagine these small little pellets, white pellets, all over the beach that had to be scooped up individually to clean up that coastline. It was painstaking work, but it was important, as marine biologists had noted, that these nurdles, these little pellets, were causing incredible harm in marine life. But it's beyond a disaster such as this. Every single day, we release plastic into our waters, and marine life is consuming it, and it comes back right to us. As part of the food chain when we consume seafood. But we do have to do more, of course, to save our waters. So that is Plastic Whale, an incredible documentary, and hopefully it's brought about a bit of behavior change.